Sunday we talked about victory over darkness, and we're looking at the authority, basically the authority of every believer, the power that God invested in us. Psalm 91:13, Luke 10:19, Colossians 2:15 is the scriptures we'll be focusing on, and we'll speak along those lines of those scriptures, victory over darkness. Psalm 91 and 13 says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet. Notice it says those, the lion, adder, young lion, dragon, you shall trample under feet. This is speaking about the devil and his demon partners, evil powers. Of course, you know, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 and 9, Peter speaks about the devil as comes as a lion. He comes about as a lion, seeking who he may devour. And he talks about Satan is a type of, of our enemy, and he's going to try to steal or kill from you, steal whatever you have and take you captive or eat you up. And so those, the lion, the adder, and we talked about, a little mention about the adder, you know, there's various types of snakes, very poisonous snakes that can kill people. You know, in the book of Numbers 21, talks about those snakes killing, biting the people, killing them, and they were dead. And the Bible says to Moses, if he made the serpent, put it on the pole, when people look at that pole, on the serpent on the pole, they will live and they'll be healed. So that's talking about the enemy, you know, Satan, and about healing as well. So we're not focusing on that aspect of it, but we'll move along and just to show you that these are types of demonic powers which are under our feet. Notice Psalm 91:13 says, you will trample under your feet. So all these types of evil powers, God has given us the authority over these powers. Then if you notice Luke 10:19, Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. He said, I give you power to tread on. Notice the word tread on again, or trample on, tread on. Notice he said serpents and scorpions, and those are types of evil powers, evil spirits, and over all the power of the enemy. That's the enemy is the devil. And notice he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's speaking of divine protection. And so notice in also Luke 10:19, there's two words in that verse of scripture, two words called power, identified as power. That first word, power, is the Greek word is exousia, which actually means authority. And that second word, power, is actually meaning, the ability of the enemy. And so those are two separate, the King James identifies it as power, but they're two separate words. And so that we have, according to what Jesus said, that we have power or authority over all the power of the enemy. And so you might not feel like it sometimes, but you do. And notice also in Colossians 2:15, Paul is speaking here and giving revelation knowledge to the church at Colossae. He says, and having spoiled principalities, he's talking about Jesus. The word spoiled there means to nullify or paralyze the enemy. Jesus spoiled or reduced to zero. Actually, the word it talks about reduced to zero. In other words, the power that Satan has over you is zero. And so he says, having spoiled principalities and powers. And we made reference to Ephesians 6:18 at Maybe you could put that up there for a second. Ephesians chapter 6, I think it was verse, what scripture did we give at that point? Ephesians, it talks about, I think it's verse 15, is it? He said, he'd given us, the Lord has given us, you know, that we have to wrestle with these spirits. Remember that scripture I gave you on Sunday? Yeah, principalities and powers. I think it was 6:12, okay. So notice here, he says, Paul, you know, Paul gives the church at Ephesus and the church at Colossae the same knowledge, basically. If you read the two chapters, the two books, you'll see that he's telling them the same things. And so when you read this alone, you know, as a young Christian, I read Ephesians 6:12. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. In other words, we're not fighting against human powers, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. And so you can see there's levels of powers of the enemy and against spiritual wickedness in the high places. So the Lord has given us this authority to come against these powers when they come against you. So when I was a new Christian, I was kind of scared of scriptures like that because I didn't understand everything. And I think maybe if you don't understand this, you'll tremble if you don't understand that you have the authority. You know, authority means that you don't have the muscle power, but you have the authority, the legal right, which is another word, a legal right to stop the enemy from coming to you, because he has been reduced to zero according to this scripture over here in the Colossians 2:15. He said, this is speaking about Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. And having spoiled principalities and powers, these are the same powers that we looked at over here earlier in Ephesians 6:12. These are the same powers. And he says that we, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them. And if you understand the history back in those days when you conquered a kingdom, another king and his kingdom, they usually paraded those people around and show that these guys have been demolished and paraded them over. So that's what he's referring to here in this verse of scripture. And he says, triumphing over them in it. In other words, in it means the death, burial, and resurrection, that Jesus, when he did that, he conquered the devil. He destroyed them. And he took back the power that was stolen from man. Now, I want you for a second just to visit back. And before we do that, let's say this first. That we have victory over the enemy. We have power or legal right to exercise power over the enemy or any devil or any power. We have that right, but if we don't know about the fact that we do possess that ability, it's useless to you if you don't exercise your right. If you're a citizen of Canada, and if you don't exercise your rights, it's useless to you. So you have to understand and know that you can use that right. So in the spiritual kingdom, nothing is automatic. And just because Jesus gave something and won the victory, it doesn't mean that we can just sit back and say everything's done. No, we still have to live by faith. And the enemy will come and attack if he's allowed to. And let's look at something here that I thought would be interesting for us. As you know, let us look at something here. If you go to the first book of the Bible and see this scripture here. Let's see here. I want to give you this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26 to 28, I'm going to read the King James Version here. This will give you some historical perspective spiritually. In the first book, this is Moses' writing. And he said, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Everybody said dominion. Well, that word there is the same word really in Luke 10:19. I give you authority. So in this book, in the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter, Moses writes that God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them have dominion. Let them have authority. And he talks about over the sea and the fowls of the air and the cattle and so forth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. So God made male, female, created them. And verse 28, and God blessed them. You know, we're blessed people. Amen. Amen. So God said, let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all the sea and over all the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And so God created man, and it says in that book, in the writings here of Moses, and he said, God says, have dominion over the earth. So basically, if you want to look at it this way, and that man was actually God of this world. God put him there. He is the head guy, and him and his wife there, Adam and Eve, they had dominion. Everybody said dominion. Dominion. So that means authority. God gave them the right and the privilege and the honor to exercise that right. That was his right. But something happened. Of course, we see that Satan came in there in chapter 3 and stole that, and he tricked them, and he gave his right over to the devil, and then the devil had the power. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 6, we see the trace of this. We see the idea over here. And the devil, when the devil came to Jesus, when Jesus had to be sent to earth to redeem mankind, take back the power, and give man, restore man, and give him redemption. And the devil came to Jesus. And if you look in the Bible, you see that Jesus is called the second Adam. There was the first Adam, but Jesus sent God sent Jesus. He's the second Adam, and he was raised from the dead, both spiritually and physically as well. So we see here, he says, the devil said to him, that is to Jesus, all this power I will give you. So Satan had that power to give to Jesus if Jesus would just go ahead and worship him and bow to him. So that was a temptation, but Jesus had to run through that temptation and go over this situation. And he says, in the glory of them. Now, lots of people have been tempted to follow the devil, and the devil will give something to somebody until, you know, he binds them. And, you know, we hear all kinds of stories of people giving themselves over to the devil, and they have certain kind of authority and power, and then in the end, they're destroyed. So he says, for that is delivered unto me. The devil told Jesus that. That's delivered unto me. Who delivered it? We know that it had to be Adam, because he had the first dominion over everything. He says, and I'll give it to whoever I want to give it to. So, you know, some people seemingly seem to team up with the devil. And notice over here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, something here that is revealing to us about the devil's time. And you'll also see this in Revelation. The devil has a certain kind of timeline. One day, everything will be taken from him. He'll have nothing to do with us. In Matthew 8, 29, Jesus goes here and he's ministering. And verse 29, he says, behold, there cried out to him this spirit saying to Jesus, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" So when you read these scriptures, the devil knows he has a short time. If you read in Revelation, the Bible says the devil comes down, behold the people of the earth. The devil knows he's got a short time. There's a limitation. So here in this scripture, the devil knows that Jesus has come, but he said, "Are you coming here to torment me before the time?" So he knows that there's a time when there's going to be more than what he's bargained for. So when Jesus rose from the dead, in Revelation 1:18, he says, "I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death." There's a place called hell, and there is something called death. You know, in Psalm 23, he says, "We live in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death." That's this world where death is here. One day that'll be taken away for good. So we have this, we have these pieces of revelation and knowledge from Scripture. And before Jesus left the earth, Matthew 28:18, he says, he tells their the disciples, he said, "And Jesus spake unto them," to the disciples, the church there, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And God gave Jesus the power, and Jesus gave back the power to the people, to his disciples or the church. Because in Revelation 1:18, he says, "I have the keys of hell." You know, in Matthew 18, he says, "I give you, you know, the right and privilege to exercise dominion and power." Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, and let's go to verse 19 there. Matthew 18:19. Let's go look at the scripture here and read it. "Again, I say to you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be given to them by my Father which is in heaven." Go back one verse of scripture. "Verily I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Jesus is talking to his disciples. "And whatever you bind on earth shall be loosed." Whatever you bind in heaven, "whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." And so he's telling the people there that they have this authority. You know, I don't know, you have to have, you know, some of you have personal knowledge of how you were sick. You're able to bind these spirits of sickness and disease or whatever is troubling you. And sometimes you come across evil spirits who speak to you, and you have to take authority over those things. You get spooked out. I mean, oh, this is Halloween time, and everybody's celebrating, you know, darkness in some matter. But I know for sure it's commercialization now. It's a change into different things where people are, they're still wearing these costumes and stuff and symbolizing death and evil, you know, whatever, monsters and spirits. And a lot of us don't think about it. I mean, it doesn't bother me too much because I don't even bother thinking about it. And when I was a kid, though, I'd be afraid. And some of you, I look at you, you remind me of a mask. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so, you know, sometimes we'd be afraid of people. But, you know, it says here, whatever we bind on earth. So the evil spirits and evil powers of you know, they're running. They're ruling and reigning. So it's up to us to bind them. The word bind, it says, whatever you shall bind shall be bound in heaven. That word heaven there doesn't mean where heaven where God is. It's the heaven above between where these spirits are, you know, trying to come on the earth and I guess come in our realm and just take a complete authority. And he can't because we're here. We have the power. So that word bind means whatever you prohibit. Whatever you call to be lawful. Change this verse actually to the Amplified, maybe the Classical Edition, because it gives you a little extra, knowledge. So he says, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid or declare to be improper, unlawful on earth, must be already forbidden in heaven. So in other words, and he says, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. So God has declared certain things. So the devil, like he has free reign right now where we are. Psalm 23 says, we live in the valley of the shadow of death right now. But one day that'll be totally taken out. And our bodies will have brand new bodies one day. You'll never get sick. You'll never get hurt. I mean, you'll have brand new bodies. The Bible says, Romans chapter 8 says, the whole world is crying out. Even the earth itself crying out for redemption, you know, because it's affected by sin. And so it's waiting for redemption. And us, he said, one day we'll have a brand new body. If you read that whole chapter, one day you will have a brand new body. But not yet. Well, not yet. You have to take care a little bit more. Watch over your body. But, you know, when you look at it, is sometimes you give the devil authority. By ignorance and by going into his world, into his life, by sinning and going into and living in that, in there, and he'll come in and take authority and take more than what you give him. That can happen to people, even Christians, if they allow the enemy to come in their life. You know, next thing you know, he takes the whole place over. So really, it's whatever you permit. Whatever you permit in your life. You know, what are we permitting? Whatever we bind, whatever you call lawful. Now, you know, here's something that I told you guys on Sunday. There's something here. I don't know what it is. We got to clean that out. Looks like somebody's been making, fixing cars or something. And but anyway, you know... What did I say there? I forget what I was going to say. What's that?
We allow things.
Yeah, we do allow things, but there was something else I wanted to mention there about, if we don't take authority in our own lives, the enemy comes in and he'll take more than actually, you know, when people say, well, sin took me further than I wanted to go. So we permit. So I was talking about something on Sunday where I mentioned, I was thinking about the enemy. I said, Lord, how come I'm getting this flu here? And the Lord said, well, you opened the door. I believe in healing. I believe that Jesus died for my redemption. And, so in talking about the devil, I said to you, you know, what happened? What happened? I said, well, it's none of your business, but... I want to, just for teaching wise, you know, I was just joking around there, but see what happens sometimes, people, we live in a fallen world and things are not what it should be at times. Like, it's not a matter of the devil in every situation. It has to do, sometimes people get sick because they've overworked themselves, like in the guy in Philippians over there in chapter, I think it's chapter 4 or 3, where a guy by the name of, I think his name is... Epaphroditus, I think it is him, and he overworked himself, and he got sick. Now, it wasn't a matter of the devil attacking him. It wasn't a matter of those evil spirits coming in. He overworked himself to a place. Now, if you neglect yourself, you don't eat properly, you don't sleep, well, because of the things in the world, there's you know, germs and stuff, and it can get on you. It's not a matter of the devil. So if we don't take care of ourselves... we can get sick. So you know, we kind of over-spiritualize sometimes a lot of things that are happening around and make it like it's the devil. He's got all the power. He just jumped on you and, you didn't know. But no, it's a matter of you just go ahead and eat and sleep properly and stay strong. Protect yourself, right? You can't just overwork yourself. Like, I remember Brother Hagin mentioned to us over in the 47 to 59, in the Healing Revival, some of these men who were leading evangelists, who were having astounding success with miraculous signs and wonders, and they went on, they ministered with the anointing, and a lot of them got sick because they overworked, and they had, you know, everybody's got a human body. We don't have a body like Adam did before he fell. You know, Adam had a beautiful body before he fell, a glorified body. And that's why when John saw Jesus in the book of Revelation, the way he saw Jesus was a glorified body. You know, one day we'll get a good body like that. How would you like one now? But listen, not everything is of the devil. And so don't over-spiritualize everything. Things happen. People, you know, if you don't, if you drive down the road and disobey signals and signs, and you got into a car accident, it says there, danger ahead, winding turn, and you're going, slow down, it says there, 45 or 35, and you're going 80. And you said, oh, the devil did it. I crashed and almost died. No, you're the devil. You're the one that caused the accident, right? It's like one time another fellow, we're talking about authority and authority of darkness. One fellow says to me, you know, I wonder if you could pray for me. I was mentioned this year. Pray for me, the devil is attacking my finances. And he'd always say stuff like that. And, you know, at first I kind of believed him because he's serious. And I want to know, I'm interested, how did he attack your finances? Well, I said to him, I helped him out. And I made the story short, of course, before. And I wanted to give you a little bit extra revelation. So I talked to him again. And every time he's talking this way, like some of you do, and blame the devil and give him more power than he actually has. He doesn't have every power. If he could kill you, he'd have killed you a long time ago. But he hasn't had the power. So this guy said to me, pray for me, the devil is attacking my finances. So finally, I got a little bit, you know, more keen on different things. I asked him, okay, we'll help you again. But before I help you, I'd like to sit down with you and maybe talk about some things. Spiritually, how you're handling your money, and then practically what you're doing. Do you have a budget? And, you know, and people get in trouble and they blame the devil because of their own mismanagement of their own financial. So when we review it all, you know, we're the devil, who he was, right? He was the one that's attacking his own finances. So it's not a matter of the devil attacking someone's money. Is that are we taking care of our own finances? Are we budgeting properly? Are we following the scripture? Do we actually, why isn't God giving me any money? I sow every once in a while. But are we consistent? Are we sowing seed consistently? And do we give? You don't have to give all your money. You give some of your money. Because some of your money belongs to God. Everything that you have doesn't belong to you. Everything belongs to God. He's given us authority to handle our own lives. But sometimes we do let the enemy in there. So it talks about in Romans 5:15, gives us a little bit more revelation. By one man, offense, death reigned. You know, Jesus said, I got the keys of death and hell, spiritual death. And he says, death reigned. Well, you could say death, the devil reigned by one. Much more they receive abundance of grace, we have, and the gift of righteousness, we have, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We reign in our righteousness by Jesus Christ. The word reign is a diminutive, you know, word, you know, when it comes to it, like a king would reign. The king has power. And he, yes, control. He has control. He has the power to do, you know, call the shot, so to say. But you're the king in your own life. Right? You're the king in your own life. Jesus gave you kingship in your own life. So It says here that we reign in life. The Amplified, I think the Amplified says it this way, we reign as kings. Notice, if we change this into, I think we can go to does it say in this one here? Let's see. 5:17, excuse me. For if by one the trespass of one man Adam, death reigned through the one Adam, much more surely those who receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign eternal life through one Jesus Christ. So the actually classical Amplified Bible gives you a little bit more information. Reign as kings, it says there. So we reign as kings, and so we say, you know, if you're going to reign as a king in your life, it's important how we speak. I think we talked about that last time. It's what we do. So how does a king reign? Well, he decrees something. A king's word is law, right? And so what's law in your life is what you say. There's a law of confession. And what we say about our lives and what we, if we believe it, that becomes what's going to be. So, you know, if we don't believe something yet, go ahead and confess God's word. It'll become real to you. So we reign in life by one. So you're reigning in life by what you say about your life. Because God has given you dominion right over, go all the way back to Genesis. He said, you have dominion. Jesus said, you have dominion. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. God told Joshua, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread on, I've given you power, or giving you that land. So we need to take our land, our promised land, whatever God gives us in the scriptures as what belongs to us, whatever you take authority over, that's going to be yours. So we need to do that. And so going back again to that whole thing about reigning, a king reigns, he decrees something. So we need to start decreeing something according to scripture, what belongs to us. We need to say things, you know, I am the righteousness of God. God has given me a right spirit. I have right standing with God. And the Bible says that God will give you even peace with your enemies if your life pleases the Lord. Even your enemies will have peace with you. They're forced to have peace with you because God's given you that ability. Now I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. Paul is praying here, chapter 1 and verse 12. We're still talking about reigning. We're talking about power over darkness. Power over darkness. We live in this dark world. And Psalm 23 says, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. You know, when death comes in, there's darkness. So we can reign over that. Even in darkness, we reign. Right? So Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul is giving these guys, the Colossians, revelation. He says, giving thanks to the Father, which had made his meat to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So he says, this is what we're doing. I'm giving God praise. I'm thanking him. Because he's made us able. The word meat means able. God has made you able. He's not going to. He has already made you able. When he rose from the dead and he gave us a place. So he's made us meet or made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of his light. So we have an inheritance. We need to participate in whatever God has given us. Now verse 13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. We're talking about authority over darkness, control over darkness. Notice it says here, he's given us deliverance over the power of darkness and translated us to the kingdom of his dear son. We're no longer in the dark kingdom. We're now in the kingdom of light. Look at this in Colossians, the Amplified Bible. Look at this. It says here, the Father has delivered us, drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. In other words, Satan cannot control you. He can only control you through deception, and you believe that lie, or, you know, you're walking in his kingdom. You decide, I'm going to leave the church, leave God, leave the ways of God, and I'm going to go live in the world. Well, he has the right to control you. And you have no, you know, authority because you give yourself over to that. There are Christians today who've done that. And they're worse off than they ever were. And when they decide to, they can come back. Yeah. Amen, they can. And the devil can't stop them. But you notice here, I love this scripture because it says he has no control over you. Now, you can allow him to control you by the way you think and not even know it. And we talked about last week a little bit that Satan, little hurts, little resentments, you allow that to come in your life and it controls your life, right? So sometimes we allow Satan to control us unknowingly. This is one of the scriptures that helped me feel safe, because it says that Jesus, God, has delivered us, drawn out to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness. That our darkness cannot control any part of your life unless you allow him. Like, I used to think that the devil can come anytime he wants, kick the door down in my home, and rip off the covers I'm sleeping in my bed, and start jumping on me and start pounding me and stealing me and stealing all my money and going into my fridge and eating my chicken. And he can't do that. He can't do that. He doesn't have the right to. And yet, spiritually speaking, there's people who allow the devil to come in their minds and say, you're no good. You'll never amount to anything. And they walk around feeling like dirt. And so they don't feel good as anybody, like the next guy should feel. And so they allow the enemy to control them in their thinking. Let's go back to, I believe it's Romans again. I want to see something here. Because he said, he has given us the control. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Until you take dominion, until you start doing something about the devil in your life, nothing's going to be done. Now, I can come and pray for you and take authority and take some authority over there, but when I leave, they come back. You'll have temporary relief, but until you start saying, okay, I'm keeping my dominion. I'm not going to allow fear to control me anymore. You know, some of us were controlled by fear for years. I was. Had anxiety issues. I was afraid. I was afraid of everything. And I wanted peace from God. So, let's go to Romans. Let's go to Romans, I believe it's, why don't we go to Romans 6? And verse 12. You know, we always say around here, my mind is my mind. Amen? Say, my mind is my mind. See, listen, here's what happened one time. I remember being attacked, and I didn't understand I was being attacked by an enemy before. I would feel so oppressed in my mind, in my body, and I would just walk around like this for months at a time, not really realizing what happened to me. When I got born again, that was completely taken out. And there's scriptures that describe this. Isaiah talks about that man sitting in the prison in the dungeon. I think it's chapter 6 around there. The man sitting in the dungeon in the prison, and he gets released. Light has shone in the dungeon. And Matthew quotes that. I believe it's in 4:16. He said, this man saw a great light shine in the prison house. And that darkness was removed. So when you're oppressed all your life and all of a sudden light comes in, shines in you, you know the difference. I knew immediately that this thing was taken from me. And I was going to a psychiatrist, and my doctor sent me to a psychiatrist, and I was ready to start taking medication because I had this oppression on me. Just like life wasn't worth living. And of course, you know, a medical thing, thank God they can help you with some. But, thank God for the power of God and revelation knowledge. So when Jesus came in, darkness walked out. And I was free from that situation. And so, there was in the 70s, there was a guy by the name of Flip Wilson. He always said, the devil made me do it. And I used to think about the devil. He can just come in and force you to do whatever he wants. But you can see that actually is happening, and Timothy talks about it, and he says that we can get out of the snare of the enemy, and he's taking some captive and making them do whatever he wants them to do. Paul tells Timothy about that. That's in the scriptures there over in Timothy. But he does. He can't just do that anytime, because once you're in Christ, you're free. You're free to not let anything establish any kind of authority in your life. And that's how I learned how to quit smoking. That once I realized I'm free. Once I realized I was free from addictions, I knew I was free. And I used to go to meetings. I used to go to AA meetings because I wanted to curb that feeling of going back out there. Now listen to me. You can't mess around with stuff like that. If I went out again and just go put myself in a drinking place, I'll start drinking again. And guess what'll happen? I'll be all tangled up again. You can't just go back out there and do whatever you want to do when God brought you out. The Bible says, you know, a guy who goes back is like a dog eating his vomit and a pig going back in the dirt. That's a picture it gives. So none of us can just go back any time we want into bondage and expect to be free.
That's right.
That's negligence and that's stupidity. So if you want to be free, you stay free by doing the things that you're told to do. So over here in Romans chapter 6 and chapter 5, it says that we reign as kings in this life by Jesus Christ in our righteous position. In verse 12, it says, let not sin reign or have dominion or control your life in your mortal body. In other words, you can tell your body not to overeat anymore like you used to, not to smoke, not to drink. You can do that, but you have to come to a place in your life where you understand that revelation just can't be just head knowledge. You have to be able to exercise that because obviously, there's some Christians who get born again. Some of them go back to their old life and get entangled again and get stuck again. And they wonder why, you know, I thought I was free. Yes, you're free, but you gave yourself over. Once you understand spirit, soul, and body, you can understand, you get a better grip on your faith. Brother Hagin told us, once you understand spirit, soul, and body, your faith will work a whole lot better. You're not going to be confused. Well, I thought I was free, you know. I thought I was free. Yeah, you're free spiritually, you're free, but you allow your body to rule you. And your body will do anything you allow it to do like you did in the past. You look exactly like you're not even born again. In fact, some people have gotten confused. They said, I thought I was born again. Why am I doing these same things? It's because you don't understand spirit, soul, body. Your body is not redeemed yet. So that's why your spirit, spiritually, you need to get stronger to take authority over your own body. You have authority in your own life in three areas. You have authority over your own body. Amen. 1 Corinthians, you know, Paul tells the Corinthian church, and he says in there that I treat my body, what does he say? I beat it under submission. I treat it roughly. He says, I treat my body roughly, and I bring it under submission. So, Lord, take this away from me. No, you decide to do it. You decide that this is the last time you're going to believe the scripture and that I'll never eat a bucket of chicken at midnight. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. Verse 13 says. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion, or Satan shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Thank God for grace. I remember Brother Hagin talking to when the Lord said to him, I've given you this authority. And he gave him further revelation on it. And he says, when the Lord appeared to Brother Hagin one time about having authority, he tells Jesus in this vision, he says, I'm not going to believe that because I've never heard this before. He said, give me a scripture. And Jesus said, I'll give you four scriptures that you have authority. So you have authority in three things. Number one, you have authority over your body, over yourself. You can make your body get up and go to the gym. You can tell it how much to eat and what to eat tonight. You say, no, you're not going to have this. You're going to have sugar, like I did. And I went back again and I did it again. I just gave myself a free rein. I tell the people there, make sure you put a little bit more, a little chocolate on my desk there. But no, I didn't. I didn't this time, but I got to watch myself. So you have authority over your body. Everybody say, I have authority over my body. So the devil can't come and make you eat a pail of ice cream. He can't make you sleep all day long. You can say, body, I'm taking you up, but you're going to go get up here, comb your hair and wash up and everything, right? And today you're going to brush your teeth. So you take your body and you make it do something, right? Yeah? So you have authority over your own body. And you speak to your body. Say, body, stomach, you better behave yourself. Jesus gave us healing. And you speak to your body. So you have authority over your body. The second thing is, you have authority over circumstances that the devil has brought there to trip you up so that he gets you out of the things of God. You can tell the devil, you can speak to the circumstances. Circumstances, you change in my favor in the name of Jesus. I'm serving God. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, but it's there in the Bible. Jesus controlled those waves and the sea and said, "You listen, stop." Did Jesus believe what he was saying come true? Yeah. If Jesus did it, you could do it. If you believe. Mountain, move. Anyways. Okay, so you have authority over your body. Number one. Number two, you get authority over circumstances that's coming against you when you want to serve God. Number three, you have authority over the devil himself and all his cohorts. Those are three areas that we need to understand that we can take authority over in our lives. So there's a bug right here. There's a fly. I think it wants to be my pet. See? You go away. Go see Luke. So We need to take authority here. Who's the boss in your life? You are. And whatever you say is going to happen in your life. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've given you some scripture that you have authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall any means hurt you. Yeah? I'll close with this word here. Luke 10:19 again. He says, I give you power, or I give you authority over all the ability of the enemy. How much ability? All of his ability. So whatever he's doing in your life, you can take authority over it. You know? So, like I said earlier, I used to be afraid, and you know, I would do certain things. And thank God I can do certain things to help myself. And we need to use whatever tools we need. God will use whatever you can to get out of the situation you're in. You know, I thank God I had people who helped me get out of addictions. And I'm so pleased that the Lord will use other things that could get you out until you get the revelation yourself. Don't try this at home unless you know. Yeah. So, now, I gave you this scripture last time, Deuteronomy chapter 2, in verse 31. The Lord says, the Lord said to me, behold, I have begun to give Shion and the land before thee. Notice this, begin to possess it, that you may inherit the land. So we need to possess whatever Bible scriptures, whatever scriptures belong to us, we need to start owning it and do it. So nothing's going to happen until you decide to rule over darkness. He said, God, come over here. God, come here. Take authority over it. No, he's telling you to do it. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you loose on earth. Let's go ahead and pray. Father,